a big elaborate origin story. And the weird thing about phone ringing is I have no idea when I have the idea. Like, I must have been walking home from the pub or something, and I was thinking about, like, you know, my usual obsessions, and somehow it germinates. Like, if you go back and see my earlier writing, because I was a critic beforehand, and also afterwards, there was a lot of, like, trends and ideas, like, thinking about music, but I have no moment of germination. I mean, there's a bit like, it's very clearly the big influences on Phonogram are Blue Monday, as I mentioned, and Hellblazer. And the idea of that kind of Hellblazer, you know, John Constantine is a character who's been mainly used in the good comics to, like, mainly British writers to explore issues of they want to talk about. You know, it's like social history as horror comic, kind of, is what Hellblazer is interesting for. So kind of using a device like that to explore my interests seems logical, but that's not where the idea came from. The idea came from magic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. I wish I did.
So, Jim, what was the curation process of taking these works of pop art, these album covers, and incorporating them into this comic?
I don't know. It was so long ago. I'm not sure I can remember.
Do you have the idea of which ones we should use?
I gave several options.
Yeah. I wasn't like totally 100%. And then it was just a question of like, what are we trying to do with this issue? What are we trying to do with this story? And obviously like the first one, the Elastical one, is very much like, you know, the gang photo, the group against the wall looking cool. So that was like sort of the obvious choice for the first issue.
Yeah.
And beyond that,
it was like the Love and Rockets of it all, you know, So we're both, you know, it's a direct homage of a band thing.
Yeah.
But like Elastica are late enough that a band against a wall shot is also in itself a homage.
Yeah.
So it's like we're homaging homage, and of course, you know, how that ties into the comics is a different thing.
Yeah.
Now, the most Cold Your Steel covers we ever did, like normally, like the more we've gone, the more Jamie's essentially taken over the covers.
Yeah.
I know it's in a bad way,
showcases. Yeah.
Well, the Phonogram covers are just cold. You know, they're this kind of like very formal pieces of like meaning.
Yeah.
Mm.
So let's talk about these characters a little bit, because the first thing that struck me is that these are awful, terrible human beings.
Yeah.
So we see the first character, and he describes himself as a mutation, genetic dead end, with a tumor hanging behind his thighs. Where did that come from? Where did you want to take these disgusting human beings? Was it about redemption?
This is like, it's reading captions from the first Rue Britannia feels like. You know, like, imagine there's an entire podcast about people reading their poetry as a kid. So, like, something I wrote back in 2004 being read aloud to me is utterly horrible.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in good people. Like, that's not true. I'm interested in people. I said this in an interview recently, but heroes confuse me, but people trying to be heroic interest me. Like, the attempt to be heroic is something that, like, I think people have to wrestle with every day. Also, the concept of a hero is a fictional construct. You know what I mean? Even heroes aren't really heroes, they're people. So like, the idea of like these kind of awful messes of people and how they're trying to become not, that interesting. You know, like kind of almost all my characters, obviously in Wicked and almost many of my books, are people who are fundamentally flawed and trying to better themselves or not. In the case of like Phonogram, like, yeah, these are mainly like music journalists I knew, or like the voices of music journalists. And I was like coming out of my 20s. Like, you know, Rue Britannia especially is about being 30. So it's like the worst possible portrait of my music journalist voice in my 20s. And especially because, you know, Cole is somebody who was inspired by feminism and then used it in completely the wrong ways. You know, that fundamental contrast of somebody who really does like Sleater Kinney and is a shithead. You know, so that's a laceration of it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But one thing I love about this comic is to have this time, because I think we can agree that we live in this era of nostalgia porn. Mm. We're looking back, we're idolizing things of our youth, and you came out years before this renaissance, and you said, kill your youth. Go forward with it. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, what's Emily Astor line? Nostalgia is an emotion with people with no future, which is, you know, a good line. But they're kind of like, the complexities of, especially Rue Britannia, is about the idea of I'm somebody always hating nostalgia culture, and I despised it. And then I got a point in my life where I started to see nostalgia being sold back to me, and worse, I started to understand it. So like basically the pull between seeing nostalgia, seeing how nostalgia flattens culture, seeing how it affects me, and trying to like find a way to find your way through that maze. That's kind of what Rue Britannia is. Kind of like the story structure of it is, it's a critical argument. You get all these positions forwarded and eventually you get a synthesis. It's very Hegelian. There's, I never say Hegelian. Hegelian, that sounds like a song. Yeah, so in other words, especially my plotting then, coming from a critic, was about, okay, let's pose these arguments and come to some kind of consensus. I mean, Emily in this book probably is closest to what my pure argument was. That's just, Emily is what I believed, or at least what I said. And the kind of the rest of the plot is me trying to pull apart that, well, what I say isn't what I really feel. That's kind of like a bullshit. Sorry. This is kind of like stuff that I cover it. That, you know what I mean? That's what makes sense.